Thank you, Lord God. Well, praise the Lord, church. Thank you for coming to this CIP graduation. Brother Grant said not too long ago that I have a tendency of kind of saying the same thing a different way. And you can only say something so many times without saying it the same way repeatedly. But we thank all of you for being here to help support the graduates in the CIP graduation. I love this particular service because I know what it means to me to see changes in people's lives, to see them wanting to do something different, to find, you know, to find out the truth of Jesus Christ and the power that resides in his name. This program has been with us now. We're going into our 12th year, and I've lost track of how many people we've had go through, but the successes are known. We are known throughout this community, and I thank God for that, for the truth of his word, because his word has said that it will go forth and not return void. And what we bring forth in this CIP class is the truth of God's word. Hallelujah. I've been kind of struggling with this sermon tonight. I felt that it's the one that the Lord gave me. I named it Lies, Lunacy, or the Lord. But I'm not sure that this is what I'm supposed to bring forth tonight. But I'm going to go with it and just see where the Lord leads. So please bear with me. I would like to also point out that after the service tonight, there will be a cake reception over in the fellowship hall. So please come and congratulate the graduates and celebrate with them. And not only that, tonight we have one of our CIP students that has made a decision to remit his sins under the blood of Jesus Christ, and that's Justin Hill. So after the service is over, that will be happening. So may I say in advance, CIP. All right. Get that established and done. The Bible tells us. See, I told you I'm conflicted. We're going there anyway, though. The Bible tells us that God created the heavens and the earth and everything that there is in therein. And if it's not here, God did not create it. It did not come by any other means. We as people tend to think of ourselves as being something special, as individuals, because we have talents or skills, or because of the people that we associate with and the groups that we familiarize ourselves with. And there's a trap in that. There's a real trap in that, because when we start to think ourselves to be greater and more than who and what we are, there's a danger that lies there. Traps have been set for us. But sometimes we fail to see that because of youth. I use this term, and I don't mean it derogatorily, but we make a lot of decisions and actions out of ignorance. And ignorance being the fact that we simply don't know. We step off into areas as people, and we don't know what's out there, what we're getting into. If we had future sight, and I've used this reference before, and we could see what the end result would be, I could almost guarantee you that none of us would be in most of the situations we have found ourselves in. But we didn't know. We weren't willing to ask anyone. And because we weren't willing to ask anyone, we end up falling and believing lies. There's always someone out here in this world that is willing to tell you exactly what it is you want to hear. And we will accept that and never wonder, well, why are they telling me this? We never ask the follow-up question is, what's in it for them? We just make the assumption that they're just doing this because it's in my own best interest. And later on, we find out that it's not true. I have posed this question also before. Why is it easier to believe a lie than it is to believe the truth? The truth hurts. Plain and simple. the truth hurts. If you sit back and you listen to what people tell you because it's what you want to hear, you don't want to hear the truth. You want to hear a lie. You want someone to build you up. You want someone to tell you something about yourself that you know is not true, but you're willing to accept and believe it. Is there a trap in that? I do believe that there is. I'm going to move away from my notes for a minute, please, as I ask you to bear with me. My wife asked me a while ago, why do you preach about yourself, me? And we had the conversation, and I tried to make it clear, and I tried to understand the reasons myself. And I mean, I've said it in a lot of different ways, but I can't give you Brother Grant's testimony. I can't give you Glenn Rawson's or Glenn Userman's or Carl Rabine's testimony. They didn't live. I haven't lived it. I can only tell you what God did for me. When I get up behind this pulpit, I don't preach so much to the church. My focus that I'm preaching on is to the CIP students, those who aren't rooted and grounded in the word of truth, those who have been caught up in the world and all the traps that have laid for them. It really touches and moves me. It hurts me when I see people come into the presence of the Almighty God and they can sit here for 20 weeks and walk away back to that same pain and suffering and those same traps. That hurts. But as people, as individuals, we have our own choices to make in life. And I can't fault anyone for it. It's your life. You live it the way that you want. You know, but it's really hard because not sitting in judgment of anyone because I don't have that ability. But I myself, in sharing my story, I grew up in a home. I grew up with a value system. I got away from home. I turned to alcohol. I turned to drugs. I turned to the streets. I turned to doing all those things that all those other people that call themselves my friends and that I thought they were my friends. You know, they were always there, let's do this, let's go do that. You know, you got any money? Well, yeah, I got some. Well, come on, we're going to do this and do that. Again, they had an ulterior motive, and I bought into it. I grew up also being a people pleaser. Praise the Lord. I grew up being a people pleaser. I grew up being an only child. I grew up believing that people did not like me because I saw myself as being different from other people. I liked to isolate myself. I liked to be by myself. I didn't really trust a lot of people. I found myself even growing up in the process of going to church and hearing what was said in church. But then on the weekends, I'm seeing the people that are teaching me these things doing something entirely different. You know, and there is what's called the spoken and the unspoken. The spoken is what comes out of your mouth and what you say, but your action will always speak louder than your words. So because I saw the conflictual nature of the people that I was, but not my mother, but the other people around me that were supposed to have been those leaders, and I saw the conflictual nature of what it was they were doing, it became easy just to kind of walk away because I did not believe what they were saying because they didn't live it. They did not live it. I didn't find out the truth until many years later, coming to this church, partially committing myself to the Lord. And why did I do that? I still believe the lies. It's just that simple. I still believe the lies. I still believe the lies of the world and what it had. If we go back to the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were there, and Satan came and he deceived Eve. They had an idyllic situation there for Adam and Eve there, but Satan came in and deceived Eve, and she believed the lie. And it didn't stop there, because God would come and talk with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. and they would walk through the garden and he would minister to them. Once sin, that lie, came into their lives, they covered themselves. They covered their nakedness. They hid from God. Shame came into the world where shame had never existed. There were a lot of other probably emotions that came in that I have not named, nor will I at this point in time. But nonetheless, they had an idyllic situation and walked away from it. They had the perfect relationship that anyone could have, and they turned away from it because they were deceived. Now, Satan, the Bible tells us that he is the liar and the father of all lies. Even until today, he is still lying to each and every one of us. What is it that's going on in your life that you are still believing? What lies are you still believing? How is it affecting you? What is it that you're doing when nobody else is looking? You know, I know for a number of years, in essence, I played church. I came to church on Sunday morning. I came to church on Sunday night. I came to church on Thursdays. But the weekends came around. I was going out hanging out with my friends, telling myself, well, I'm not going to commit myself to that church. I'm not going to be as involved, but I'm going to hang out with my old friends because I'm accepted there in this group. But I'm not going to drink and I'm not going to do drugs. That was a lie. You surround yourself with your peer group. You do what your peers do. And why would you expect anything else different to happen? Well, I didn't know. I responded out of ignorance. And it wasn't long. Yeah, I went for a month or so without drinking, without doing drugs. But gradually I found myself just drifting right back into the same pattern, doing the same things all over again. And ultimately, before I ended up in prison, but before that happened, I was out using drugs, and I contracted hepatitis. Well, back then it was none A, none B hepatitis. It's called hepatitis C now. I woke up one morning and I was so sick that I could not get up out of bed. I had jaundice. My liver was inflamed. My eyes were bright yellow. I didn't have the strength basically to do anything. And do you think any of those people that I used to think were my friends were willing to come and do anything at all for me? Not a one showed up. You know why? Because they had been lying and there was nothing there for them. But yet my need still existed. I was in the midst of my need and it still existed. The person that came to help me was a phone call to church, and Brother Seidel came, and Sister Seidel, they came and took me to the hospital. My pastor came and prayed for me when I was in the hospital. No one else came. No one else cared. He never promised to be anything other than the leader of my flock. But everything that he had ever told me, he has never made a promise to me that was not true. He has proven himself to be the reflection of Jesus on this earth. Because of this man, because of this word of truth that exists in this Bible, I have become, as I said before, the man that I am today. And I don't brag on that because I know me. There was a time when I would get the big head and you couldn't tell me anything. Another reason that became clear to me why I don't and why I repeat my testimony over and over again is it keeps me humble. I can't get proud of myself because I'm a 5-time felon. I've been a liar, a cheater, a thief, a womanizer. I have not been anything. I have not been some very nice things in my life. And I can't be proud of that. Actually, I'm really quite remorseful for it. But I thank Jesus that I could put that under the blood, and that it does not have to continue to be the same. Oh my. God is good. God is very, very good. The one person that can truly sit in judgment of us, has reserved that judgment. He has given us a space of time. We are not on this earth to become millionaires. We're not on this earth to become great and have this great notoriety. I was listening to the news the other morning. This one guy was bragging about the fact that he had fathered 18 or 19 children. He wasn't even sure. Duh. I mean, you know, come on. What's up with that? You know, there are a lot of things. And, you know, God has a sense of humor. He has a sense of humor. And he has given us opportunity to understand what something feels like. And I'm going to share that with you. Are there any parents in this house this morning? All right, tonight? Now you know what it is like as a parent to create something in your own image that as it grows older, it will deny your existence. Yes. My. I think back to the traps that were laid for me. I remember I started this story once before and I didn't finish it. Brother O'Neill, when I was in prison the last time, had, I think he was teaching a class then, Sunday morning class, and he had asked me to kind of make a tape talking about what it was like to be in prison. And as I recall on that tape, I talked about the fact that I spent the majority of my day in a cell that was 6 by 8. I spent roughly 23 hours a day in that cell, and I was pacing back and forth. During that time, I had the opportunity to think about everything that I had done wrong. I had the opportunity to think about the things that had brought me to that point in my life. I had the opportunity to think about how I had not only hurt and let down myself, but my wife and my children, the very people that needed me, the very things that I created this family. I created this relationship. I asked for this marriage. I promised my wife that I would be there for her, that I would be faithful. You know, as men, we do that. We make a lot of promises sometimes that we have no intentions of living up to because we believe the lie. We believe the lie. My wife used to tell me that there's only right and wrong. I used to believe in the gray area because the gray area allowed me the opportunity to go out and do the things that I want without accountability. When we're in that gray area, we're in the area of Satan because there is only right or wrong. There's only good or bad. You know, you come to that realization. You don't realize how important what it is you have in front of you until you have lost it or until it's about ready to be taken away from you. You come to that realization. But why subject yourself to that? Why continue to put yourself through that? You know, in this sermon I was talking about lies and lunacy. A definition of lunacy is insanity, intermittent insanity, once believed to be related to phases of the moon, wild foolishness, extravagant idiocy, and just foolish acts. Why do that when we don't have to? You know, I ask myself that repeatedly. Why do people do this? In my profession as a counselor, I counsel people about this. And it's like, you know, we get so caught up in trying to control the very things that we can't control that it's like we're lunatics. We just lose our minds and we continue to do the same things that we know won't work. This Bible has been around. This is the oldest book that there is in the world. Oldest book that there is in the world. Man has reviewed this book repeatedly. They have tried to disprove that book repeatedly, and they haven't been able to succeed. Why? I'll tell you why. Here's a quote. Make the lie big. Make it simple. keep saying it, and eventually they will believe it. That was a quote from Adolf Hitler. Make the lie big, make the lie simple, tell it often, and people will believe it. Again, I go back to ask the question, why is it easier to believe a lie than the truth? The truth requires something of us. The lie doesn't. The lie will go out and propagate itself, and we were here, you know, itching ears, it sounds good, and we'll tell someone else, and we'll tell someone else, and we'll tell someone else. And each telling, the lie gets bigger and bigger and bigger. But the truth stands on its own. Tonight, you have an opportunity to invest in the truth. Tonight, you have the opportunity for your life to change forever. Going further in my testimony, I was 40 years old when I went to prison for the last time. When I came out of prison, I had made a decision that I can no longer live my life the way that I have done it in the past. It doesn't work. That's a definition of insanity. To continue to do the same thing over and over again, expecting different results, it does not work. It does not work when your main goal in life is to make sure that you have absolutely nothing, to be physically, emotionally, and morally bankrupt. To have absolutely nothing. How is that acceptable? How is it? We go out and do the same things each day looking to find something new, and there's nothing new. It's the same old thing. The Bible tells us there's nothing new under the sun. The only thing that we can get new every day is God's mercies. The Word tells us that His mercies are new every morning. And that's not for anybody else. That's for us. We can have His mercies. And what does His mercy mean? What does His grace and His mercy mean? You know, it means maybe something different to everyone. But what it meant to me was an opportunity to walk away from my sinful ways. It meant an opportunity to stop believing the lies. It meant that I became the man that I was meant to be, to stand up, to be responsible and accountable. It meant that when I gave my word, I stood upon that word, except for when I forget. I'm old, so please bear with me on that. But remind me, I will do it nonetheless. I remember a time, and I don't mean to embarrass my daughter, but I remember a time when I went to prison that she didn't like me very much. And with reason. How would you like to wake up in the morning and go to school and have all your classmates saying, your dad's in jail? Your dad this, your dad did that, because my name was on the front page of the newspaper. And my kids had to deal with that. And she wasn't very happy with me for a long time. But once I made up my mind that no matter what happened to me, whether I spent the rest of my life in prison, whether I got out, whatever, that I was going to be faithful and true to the word of God. God is a restorer. He takes us back to where we were supposed to be in Him. He restores all of those things that we have lost. Her first son, Andreas James. My name is James. I regained the love, I regained the trust enough for her to name her son after me. Our oldest son, James Jr., he had went through the same thing, the same feelings about his dad, but now today there's James Alvin Hawk III. In Madison, if you asked my name, what my name was once upon a time, they would have said liar, cheater, thief, convict, all those other negative and derogatory statements. If you ask today who James Hawk is, they'll tell you Mister. There's nothing bad and negative that they can say about me. That's not because of me. Oh, no, I'm still a sinner. I'm still in the flesh. That's because I allow God to move in my life. He has given me. Yes. He has given me the desires of my heart. I have a wife that I've been married to for 32 years that loves me. And there is no way that I would ever even consider bringing any other woman or any other substance or anything else in between the relationship that she and I have. The relationship that I have with her is based upon the relationship that I have with God. I don't allow anything else to come in between that. I don't listen to the lies of Satan. It doesn't mean that Satan doesn't lie still, because that's what he does. But we have a choice in the matter. We are not victims. We don't have to continue to live our life as victims, stumbling from one situation to another situation to another. We don't have to. There is a choice. And the thing is, it's so simple. It doesn't have to be complicated. You know, you don't have to be the head cashier at Walmart to figure this out. I'm here to give you your answers tonight. Right here, very shortly, this altar is going to be open on both sides. And all it takes, number one, is a desire to change your life. A willingness to come down and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I have done, he already knows. Before he created the earth, he knew everything. He knew every hair on your head. So what is it that you've got to hide from him? What is there to be ashamed of? He already knows. You know, and if you are one of those pragmatic type of people, it is better to err on the side of success than to err on the side of failure. Because you can believe that there is no heaven or there is no hell, but when you die, it's a little late when you find out that there is. So it is better to err on the side of safety. And besides that, what do you get for serving God? You get your life back. You get peace back. You get your everything that you have. It's like playing that country record backwards. You get your truck back. You get your car back. You get your life back. You get all of it back. Plus, you get new mercies that are given to you every morning. Here I am at 55, 56. I go out and decide to start a business, a nonprofit business based off of CIP and the need that people have. And God put me in control of $1 million business. I wasn't worth $1 million, but the business was. Instead of me trying to get the big head and run all of this around me, I use my mentors. I talk to people. I get people smarter than I am to do the things that I don't know how to do. And this business ran for 8 years. It's not in existence anymore, but that's neither here nor there. God gave me the desires of my heart, and we were able to help people. See, that's what God is about. It's about giving away. It's not about trying to hold on. I don't have anything in my life that I'm trying to hold on to. I'm not even trying to hold on to my wife because she's not going anywhere. You know, I don't have to do it. I'm not doing anything to cause a separation to exist there. The separations come because of the lies, because of the deceptions, because of the things that we bring into our relationships. I don't bring those things in. When I go home, that is my safe place. No matter where you go, there's craziness. But if you go home and you got craziness going on there, you don't have a safe place at all. You got discomfort. You've been lied to. You believe the lie. It is also that continued lunacy that Satan will place upon us. Here's an opportunity to stand up, reclaim that which is yours, and stop giving it away to someone else. We need to stop being victims to ourselves. There is a definition. I want to just share this with you. Temporal is a definition. The definition of temporal. Temporal is the worldly, relating to a time as opposed to eternity, relating to earthly life. A person of local or restricted interests or outlook. Provincials. Provincial is a person of local or restricted interest or outlook. You put those two words together, you come up with temporal provincials, are people who are ignorant of the past and proud of this fact. These people are convinced that the present is the only time that matters, and that anything that had occurred earlier could be safely ignored. If that is not one of the biggest lies I have ever heard, I don't know what is. You cannot deny the past. You cannot deny the fact that Jesus existed. You cannot deny the fact that Satan has got you believing that the past doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is here and now. That's absurd. It's absurd. When do we stop believing the lie, and when do we start buying into the truth? You don't have to go very far. If you're a CIP and don't have this word of truth, we got some Bibles in the back, and I give them to you for free. All you got to do is pick it up, read it. Everything that you want to know about life is in this Bible. Everything you want to know about relationships, everything you want to know about love, everything you want to know about peace, everything you want to know about giving, everything you want to know about salvation, everything you want to know about healing, everything is all right in this word. If you want to know how to live a righteous life, it's in this word. If you want to know how to be alcohol and substance free, it's in this word. You don't have to go looking for anything else. And I want to give you something for free. If you're considering going back out after being, you know, sober for a while or being in Huber, alcohol and drugs still work. If they didn't, they wouldn't still make them. So you don't even have to go and experiment with it. It will get you drunk. It will get you high. It will take everything away from you just like it did before. You don't need to go back and experiment with it. And if your life is so distraught that you feel that you need alcohol and drugs in it, maybe you need to try something a little bit different. There's Colt 45 and there's all those. Try Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Feel the power of God and let it come into your life. Let it change you. Choose you this day whom you will serve. For me and my house, we serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're going to have Brother Thomas come up. We want to introduce to the church tonight the graduates for this spring, summer, early summer graduation. Joy Hemsel. Michael Robinson. Yes, you all just stay up here. Now, a couple of years ago, we had a young man that came through and graduated. His name was Noah Strand. And Noah became our head teacher for the CIP class. You know, husband and wife should share mutual interest. So his wife has decided to come through the CIP class to join him as a head female teacher. Here's our new graduate, Renee Strand. We would now like to give the graduates an opportunity to address the church.
Of the class, and I look forward to coming back here very soon.
Calvary Gospel. How many times have I sat in the pew now and heard sermons on people saying, "Boy, when I went to a Pentecostal service the first time, that was different." And I went home that night, and it struck me, God is present in this church. God is present in this church. I just want to thank you for welcoming me. And you have changed my walk with God. You have affected my walk with God. And I want to thank you. CIP and staff, you mean the world to me. Thank you for your good work. You have touched many, many lives, and you've touched mine. I've learned a lot, and I just want to thank you.
Thank you. Now, we need to be careful here. This is a preacher's daughter, so I'm going to get another sermon.
And I have the microphone.
Yes, you do.
I'd like to thank Brother and Sister Hawk for this amazing opportunity. This has been a huge journey. I want to thank my fellow CI peers. I love you guys. From the bottom of my heart, I love each and every one of you. CIP's been here for 12 years. That's a lot of graduations. And I found myself just getting used to CIP being around and like, oh, it's another graduation. It's another set of speeches. It's more cake. And it just wasn't very real to me. It's very good cake. But it wasn't much more to me than that. Faces come and go. Some stayed, like Jason Bros and Mark and my hubby. You know, some stayed, but a lot didn't. And it just wasn't, their stories weren't real. And when I decided to start the class, I was amazed. The honesty, the stories that were shared, the tears that we've all shared together. And I realized that I had just this little bit of arrogance and a little bit of Pentecostal privilege because I've been here the whole time and I don't do drugs and I don't do alcohol and what am I going to learn here? And it was very humbling for me to learn there were some strongholds in my life that needed to be addressed and my walk with God increased so much because we hear so much that the ground is level at the cross, but sometimes we have this attitude of it's sort of level, but if I'm not a substance user or I don't have problems in my life, I'm not as bad as. And I'm grateful to hear all the CIP student stories of how welcoming this church is, and I just hope and pray that we all can have that spirit of the ground is level at the cross, and the problems I have in my life are just as damaging and can have just as negative consequences as anything else out there. So, and I think everyone should go into the CIP class. And whether you want to be a teacher or not, there's so much to benefit and there's so much to learn and just getting to know these lovely, lovely people and their families. And I really want to thank, too, all the families that came to support the graduates today and bringing a meal and just supporting your kids or your family and friends here. Thank you so much. And to the graduates that haven't completed the program, please stick it out. Please, please do it. Please come back because it will change your life forever. If Noah hadn't come here and hadn't done what he did, I wouldn't have the most amazing husband that I have, and we wouldn't have the family and home that we have. It was because of this church and because of the program and because God's Spirit, it is here, and he's ready to change, and I'm going to be standing here at the end of service. And there's going to be a powerful altar call, and Justin's going to get baptized, and things are going to happen. Please don't miss your opportunity. We will pray with you. We will be here for you. And whenever decision and whatever road ahead lies for you or whatever church you end up at, we love you. And God bless.
No, would you all please stay up here and have Pastor come and pray for you. But one other thing I just wanted to add. This church is unique. I don't know about a lot of other churches. I've been in other churches that have offered lip service. But here's a prime example. Brother Thomas believes that if you love the Lord and you love him, you're good enough for my daughter. He doesn't care where you came from, as long as you have a relationship with the Lord. My pastor has never said in judgment of anyone that I'm aware of. He loves everyone, and he would do anything that he can to help you. Don't believe the lies. The truth is here. Brother Grant.
Praise God, and thank you so much, Brother Hawk, for this outstanding word that you have delivered. Would you stand with me as we pray for our graduates? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for this CIP program. We thank you, Lord, so much for the instructors, for the countless hours and counseling sessions and such that they have put in just to be a benefit to our community and to individuals who have needs. And I'm thankful, Lord Jesus, for these who have gone through the classes, for I do believe that they will in turn be able to reach out to someone and give them a helping hand. And I pray, God, you'd put it in their soul, not just to benefit from the CIP for their sake, but for the sake of so many others, Lord, that need this kind of help. And we're thankful, God, that you put it on the heart of this church and the heart of Brother and Sister Hawk to get this program established here at Calvary Gospel Church. We thank you, Lord, because we know that you came in the world to seek and save that which was lost. And we know that we are assisting, we are aiding, we are helping you to reach the lost. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for putting this in our heart, for putting it in the hearts of our graduates. And I pray, God, that they will be able to pass this on to others. We pray right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Lift your hands and praise the Lord for them. Would you do that? Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Now put your hands together and give them a great big hand. Now, we'll have them to be seated. And thank you so much for being in attendance tonight. Now, we do have a reception for them after our altar service. One of the most important things that we do here at Calvary Gospel Church is to grant people the opportunity to come and seek the Lord. Every service is ended with a time of prayer here around the front, where people strengthen their relationship with the Lord, and in many cases where people find a relationship with the Lord. When the final curtain is pulled upon all of life as we know it on the planet Earth, and we all enter into eternity, whether it be heaven or whether it be hell, there is a statement that is made. Listen to this. And he that sat upon the throne, that's talking about the white throne judgment, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. That's God speaking to John. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. Notice verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And every time I think about the CIP program, I think about overcoming. I have never been addicted to alcohol. I have no idea what alcohol tastes like. I will be 73, my birthday coming up in November. And I lived in a county in East Texas where alcoholic beverages were not sold. At that time, drugs were something that most young people or most people were not involved in. So I went through my teenage years and I was not exposed to alcohol. I really thank the Lord for that. Now, I know that God was keeping me. He had his hand upon me because so many of my friends would go to a nearby city where they sold alcohol beverages and they'd bring them back by the trunk loads. And the guys would have beer parties and such. Now, I don't know why I never got involved in it other than just that God was keeping me. But in my tenure as a pastor, countless numbers I have dealt with where they have been addicted to drugs or alcohol. And I tell you, it is a binding force upon people. A physical addiction. I smoked cigarettes, and I didn't smoke cigarettes very long, but I know this, that I got so addicted that whenever I tried to quit smoking cigarettes, I literally got sick, just sick. And one day I said, sick or well, I'm not smoking these anymore. I just ran into a few situations where people were dying with lung cancer, and I said, not me, I'm not going to do that. So the Bible says, he that overcometh. Now the thing about it is, every person in this building, whether you have had an alcohol problem or a drug problem, and you have overcome it, or you're in the process of overcoming it, you will be overcoming something. It might not be alcohol, might be something else. As Brother Hawk, he just did a powerful job here tonight. Maybe lying is something that you do. You know, people get addicted to lying. Lunacy. I don't know why I thought of it, but when I pastored in East Texas, we started a church in Cushing, and just south of us, the next city south of us was called Looneyville. I never did like to tell people I pastored near Looneyville. But you know, after a while you do some crazy things. And you just get Satan. Wednesday night I'm going to be talking about what happens when the light goes off inside of you. That's a serious thing. And nothing will cause the light to go out quicker than an addiction. Because you feel that I have to have this in order to survive, in order to live. And the truth of the matter is, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. See? The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. I come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. And the devil will tell you, oh, it's so hard to be a Christian. And yet the Bible says the way of the transgressor is the hard way. But Jesus said, come unto me, all of you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon me, learn of me. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You don't know what it's like when the load of sin and guilt leaves you. I'm going to give you the opportunity to come and surrender your life to the Lord. If you want to give your life to the Lord tonight, just come and stand over here on your right. Or if you want to renew your relationship in God, maybe you have not been as faithful to the Lord as what you intended to do or to be. Come on down the front. Give your life to the Lord. If you're sick in body and you need a healing, come and stand over here on your left. And if you have a need, a problem, and you've been wrestling with it, and you need an answer or you need deliverance, come and stand right in front of the pulpit. Come on right now. There's plenty of time to have the reception after we have prayed. So come on right now. Let's give our life to the Lord. Oh, what a great God we serve. I say, oh, what a great God we serve. What a great God we serve. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord.
Breathe life into these dry and thirsty.
God bless all these children who are coming down.
Lord, hear our prayer.
We have one CIP person that is going to be baptized tonight. Come on, make your way on down to the front.